You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
We've been in a series called Hashtag Life, and we've been looking at different chapters of life. We looked at Gen Z with our 10 to 25-year-olds. We looked at singles. We talked about last week with Emerson Eggerich here about marriage, and I'm going to continue that thought of marriage today. And then next week, we're going to start a two-part series on parenting. So I hope that you'll come back for that and be a part of that, whether you're a parent or not. We'll be able to journey on that, which will be a great thing. But today, talking about marriage. Marriage is a challenging thing, and it's an awesome thing at the same time. It's something we can have a little bit of fun with as we go along today to share about marriage. So let's kind of talk about marriage for just a second. Last week, our speaker said that ladies have pink hearing aids and a pink megaphone, and guys have blue hearing aids and a blue megaphone. And sometimes our blue megaphone is going to pink hearing aids, and your pink megaphone is going to blue hearing aids, and we end up where we don't understand quite what's saying. So I thought it'd be fun for us to just kind of pick on marriage a little bit. If a man says he's hungry, he means I'm hungry. If a woman says it's your decision, she means the correct decision should be obvious to you by now, is what she means. If a woman says this kitchen is inconvenient, she might mean I want a new house. If a man says, yes, I like the way your hair is cut, he may mean $50 and it doesn't look any different, okay? So we could go back and forth on all these different things. Of men and women, we hear things different. We understand things different. We say things differently. And God has rigged it to put us together, pink and blue, to make purple, the color of royalty, as it was said last week, to be able to honor God. God has rigged it. It's not going to be easy, but it can be enjoyable as well. So many times in marriage talks, we act like it's such a grind and it's so terrible and it's so this, so that. But I just want to come with a big smile on my face and tell you marriage can be very enjoyable. Marriage can be awesome. It can be incredible. It can be difficult as well, but it can also be incredible. I'm going to give you out of Ecclesiastes. If you got your Bible, turn to Ecclesiastes. Now, the way that you can get there, if you go right in the middle, that'll get you to Psalms pretty much, and go to the right, and you'll get to Ecclesiastes or the Bible in front of you, in the seats in front of you. It's on page 376. You can do it that way, or you could just look at the table of contents, or you could just read off the screens. You got lots of options here, all right? It's just us today at the Loop. We're not going to all of our campuses today. It's just us here at the Loop. But Ecclesiastes chapter 9, he's looking back, Solomon's looking back on his life, and he's going to give us a few verses of scripture that are going to talk to us about enjoying life. How do we enjoy life? And he's going to put right in there in verse 9, enjoy your wife, enjoy your wife. Now here's what it says in verse 7, if you'll look with me at verse 7. Go and eat your bread with pleasure and drink your wine with a cheerful heart, for God has already accepted your works. That's the first thing. I want you to be content. I want you to have a leisurely meal. Enjoy yourself around the table. Verse 8, let your clothes be white all the time. That's a celebratory thing, like going to a wedding, white clothes. And never be lacking oil for your beard, or for your head. That would be a different psalm. It talks about your beard. Lacking oil for your head. Sorry, ladies, you're included in this too. On your head. So that he's saying there, I want you to have joyful celebrations. Now look at what he says in verse 9. Enjoy life with the wife you love all the days of your fleeting life. We're not going to be here forever. Y'all know that. Which has been given to you under the sun. All your fleeting days, for that is your portion in life and your struggle under the sun. Last verse. So he's saying enjoy your marriage, but it's going to be a struggle. Verse 10. With whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your strength, because there is no work or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol, death, where you are going. So he's saying, I want you to have great meals. I want you to have great celebrations. I want you to have a great marriage, and I want you to work hard. And if you put those four things together, you're getting something there. Things are going well with that. So let's look at this, enjoy your wife. He starts with enjoy your life. That's what that whole passage of scripture is about. Enjoy your life. Then he's going to take it down further on enjoying your marriage. Now, what does this word enjoy mean? In Hebrew, this word enjoy means to see, to observe, to have a good view of. So what's he trying to do? I want you to see things differently. You're going to eat a bunch of meals, but would you see this meal as a blessing of God? You're going to go to a lot of family functions, but would you see this as a celebration of relationships? You're going to spend a lot of time with your spouse, but would you see her or see him differently? Now, if you've gone through a divorce or you're widowed at this time, I don't want you to feel like I'm knocking you out of this message at all. It'll be primarily for sure for marriage folks. Or if you're single and never been married, I want you to take good notes. I want us to look and to evaluate and to know that our number one relationship is with Jesus Christ. So nobody's left out. And all of these things, we want to be able to point towards Jesus Christ. So let me give you three things to enjoy your marriage. Three things to enjoy your marriage. Number one is this: break the predictable patterns. Break the predictable patterns. What happens is we can, instead of being soulmates, we can become roommates. And now we just go on our schedule, she goes on her schedule, he goes on his schedule, and we just kind of go through. And the predictable patterns, and after you've been married a while, you can get into ruts. Instead of it being something that's celebratory, instead of something new, instead of being ready to go on the date night type of thing, we end up in ruts and we end up in predictable patterns. Kelly and I have been married 22 years. We just celebrated this August, 22 years of marriage. And here's what I found is we know each other really well now. So what can happen? Predictable patterns. I can end up being mad at her before she even did something to be mad at. Why? Because I know how she's going to respond to that. She knows how I'm going to respond to something, so she could be mad at me before I even respond. So you end up with things like this. If you change your response in marriage, sometimes then your spouse will go, well, I didn't expect that, right? You were expecting that he would act like this. She was expecting that he would act like that or she would act like that. And it ends up in a place, predictable patterns, and we can end up in a fight. We've been brewing in the fight before we even got home to have the fight, because we know how they are going to respond. So let's break those predictable patterns. Let's live life together and have some surprises again. Have some new things again. So here's your application point. I hope you got your listening guide. I'm going to give you some application points. Do something new. And the one before it is have fun together. Have fun together. So if we can have fun together, that's what the blank is, have fun together, that we can spend some time and have a surprise. I mean, do something crazy. You ready, married couples? Go out to eat and order an appetizer. Whoa! Crazy town. Get a dessert at the same meal. And your wife's going to look across and say, what'd you do with my husband? Where is he? Where is he? Because we break the patterns. We do something fun. We get together. We have a good time. Look at how people get engaged now. Remember when you got engaged? If you've been married 20 years plus, I don't know where the line would be. But how did you get engaged? You went and got a ring. You asked her dad. You got on a knee. You asked. That was it. And then you told some friends. Now you got to have a camera crew, right? It's got to be someplace on a mountain. It's got to be someplace by a sea. It's got to be huge. To make it all happen, to get that surprise. You take that, and now look at just how people ask people to go to homecoming. How did you ask somebody to go to homecoming when you were in high school? I asked in between third and fourth period, walking down the hall. You want to go to homecoming? Yeah, great. That was great. Now it's like, wow, bam, here's the whole deal. It's surprises. It's fun. It's excitement. It's new. It's your special. And married folks, here's the deal. I'm picking and I'm making a little bit of fun, but we have a lot we can learn from these engagements and these HOCO invitations. Because in those things, we could say, you know what? But we don't do anything like that anymore in our marriage. What's a surprise? Have fun together. God's given you this great relationship. When you're young, fun comes effortlessly. When you're older, fun is intentional. You ever said this when you get older? Let's do something fun. You never said that when you were young. Why? Because fun just met you everywhere. Now you're like, let's do something fun. How about Thursday at 7? Okay, let's see if we can do that. Have fun together. God's given you a blessing with this man or this woman. Have fun together. Do something new. Do something different. Kelly and I, we decided a couple years to do something different. We figured we needed to be more athletic and do some more things. So we work out once a week with a personal trainer, just the two of us and a personal trainer. We work out together. It's awesome. It's really fun. We spend the morning, we'll work out for just a bit. Then we'll spend the morning kind of talking and hanging out and all that sort of stuff. Then we go to a date lunch together is what we do. And so we used to do date nights, but now our kids are so busy. There's so many activities at night. So many things going on at night, we can't do a date night, so we do a date lunch. The goal is not that you got to eat out all the time. The goal is that you get time together. And once a week, no matter how busy we are, we get that time together right there to be able to do that. It's awesome. It's great. Well, that's too expensive to eat out and do all that. And that's going to cost me time. That's going to cost me money. Let me tell you what's going to cost you. A bad marriage is what's going to cost you. Date nights are cheap compared to a bad marriage. And so in that moment that we say, we want to connect, and so do something fun together. We did it with working out, do it with a date day, a date time together, a date lunch. Number two, let go of the petty and embrace the priority. Let go of the petty and embrace the priority. He says in here, you have a fleeting life. Did you see that in verse 9? Fleeting life, that means life's going by really, really fast. And that means you're always going to get another text. You're always going to get another email. There's always going to be something else to do. There's always going to be another bill to pay. There's always going to be mail that comes through the slot you got to handle. All of those things are going to happen. But in your fleeting life, we can get so into the petty. And instead of embracing the priority, small bricks build big walls. Small bricks build big walls. If our church is not an example of that, I don't know what church it is. We got more tan bricks on this property than known to man, right? It's awesome. It's great. It's blessing. But I mean, we got a wall of tan bricks there. We got a wall of tan bricks. We got tan bricks everywhere. Use that as an illustration. Little bricks build big walls. So it's just some little petty thing. It's some little this. It's some little that. But those little bricks can build big walls. I love this quote my wife said one time when we were about on the edge of a little fight. She said this. We don't have the time or the energy to fight about this. And I was like, that is so true. We don't have the time, busy people. We don't have the energy, we should be sleeping more at night, to fight about this. It's petty. I mean, if we're going to fight, let's fight about this. Let's not fight about this, right? Let's really solve some things, not just bicker over some things. And so we don't have the time, we don't have the energy to fight about this. If you were been here a while, about 8 years ago, maybe 9 years ago, I gave a marriage message, and I used an illustration that Kelly, thankfully, my wife really enjoys cooking, which is great because I like eating, so that works out good. And if she doesn't want cooking, then I'm good at ordering, okay? So it all works out together to be able to do that. So, but when she cooks, she just like goes crazy in the kitchen, you know? So she leaves the cabinet doors open all over. So down the cabinet doors are open. I mean, the refrigerator door may be open even. I mean, all the cabinets are open. You go into our bedroom and the bathroom, the cabinets are open there. And I gave this illustration about all these cabinet doors are being open, and so I would just go by and just close them. That was about 8 years ago. I thought by preaching on it, she'd quit doing it, you know. She heard the message two or three times, I mean, that very day. You know, sometimes you're like preaching at somebody, you know, type of thing, not just for everybody. So it didn't work. She still leaves every cabinet door open. And you know what I do? I just close them. It's not that hard. There's about 10 things that I need to remove the plank out of my own eye before I remove the speck in her eye. So we can either argue about cabinet doors, and she'd say, well, fine then, cook dinner yourself. Well, I don't want to get to that point. Or you just simply close the doors. You simply pick up the mess a bit. You simply just make it. You just don't worry about the petty. Embrace the priorities. Let me give you two priorities. Let me give you one other, a bad one on me. She always wants me to fill the tank up in the car before it gets down to a quarter of a tank. That's what she would like for me to do. Why? Because her dad did that, okay? So dads, we're kind of ruining, you know, the expectations of our daughter's spouse, I guess would be how it goes. So her dad did that, but I've reminded her that y'all grew up in the country. I mean, there was like 10 miles before a gas station. That's why you had to do that. We're in the city. There's one on every corner. Wait till the light comes on. That's all you got to do. That's how you know. And I don't even drive that car, so how am I supposed to know when the light comes on? But she's like, you should just know, right? Okay, you should just know. So I need an app that tells me when that car's out of gas, I guess, or something. But she wants me to do that, but I don't always do that. But you know what? She just, it's okay. Should I do that? I probably should do that, but it's okay. So cabinet doors, gas lights, it's okay. What's the priority, though? Here's the priority. I'll give you two. Number one is pray together. Pray together. See, it's one thing to pray for your kids. It's another thing to pray with your kids. It's one thing to pray for your spouse. It's another thing to pray with your spouse. And when you get in that time where you pray, here's what we hear a lot. The divorce rate in the church is the same as the divorce rate outside the church. 50 plus divorce rate outside the church, 50 plus divorce rate percentage wise inside the church, just the same. And we see that we're so discouraged about the church. We're like, oh man, what in the world? It's not even working. But let me give you a different statistic. What is the divorce rate for those who regularly pray together? Regularly pray together. I'm not talking about at a meal, you bow your head and, you know, say the same prayer every night. I mean, really pray together. The divorce rate goes to under 1% if you regularly pray together. So here's your application on this. This week, Kelly and I are going to do it. This week, with your spouse, hold hands and pray together every day this week, out loud. Not just silent. If you're not good at praying out loud, get good at praying out loud. Just start talking. God's not going to smite you with a lightning bolt because you didn't say thou or thee, okay? It's okay. But to be able to hold hands with your spouse, your wife will love it, your husband will love it. It'll bring a sweetness in your heart. Even if you get in your bed and you're so tired and you've been busy all day long, just reach across, say, oh, we got it, we got to do it. Pastor said we got to do it. Lord, thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. And let that prayer be that priority, but we're so busy that we don't pray. And the reason we don't pray is not because we're too busy, but because we're too confident. And we need God's hand in our life and in our marriages. So pray and lift that up as we say, Lord, we want you to do something great in this. Praying together makes a huge, huge difference as we pray together. Number two, encourage each other. Encourage each other. Try to have a 3-to-1 ratio on compliments versus critiques or complaints, at least. And then grow it to a 5-to-1 ratio. And don't do this. Don't be like, honey, you're beautiful. Honey, I love your hair. Honey, your outfit is great. Now, what's up when you did da-da-da-da-da? That's not what I'm saying, okay? Be able to encourage and to get those words out there. There's not a woman in the world that's made an appointment with a marriage counselor and said, he just tells me I'm beautiful too much. I'm just sick of it. I want a divorce. I'm sick of hearing how much he loves me and how beautiful I am. There's never been a guy that's gone into a marriage counselor and said, you know what, she keeps complimenting me and telling me how much she respects me and how proud she is of me and what a blessing I am, and I've had it. Never happened. But what do? We're always throwing out these complaints, and especially if your job, male or female, is to identify problems and solve them. Here's what will happen. You'll sit down, you'll look at your plate, and you'll do, 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 identify problem. Hey, what's up with the cauliflower? You know I don't like cauliflower. Not thanks for cooking and trying a new recipe. I appreciate that. That was great. Or thanks for this or that, whichever way it goes. Encourage one another. I love the old country and western song by Alabama. It says this, it's close enough to perfect for me is the title. It says this, sometimes her morning coffee is way too strong. And sometimes she says it all wrong. But right or wrong, she's there beside me like only a friend would be. And that's close enough to perfect for me. She kisses me each morning and smiles that sleepy smile. She don't have to say it. I can see it in her eyes. You don't worry about my woman or what you think she ought to be. She's close enough to perfect for me. I wonder if it'd just help us in life if we were just kind of on a whole lot of issues. Just say, it's close enough to perfect. That'd probably do a lot in your parenting and your kids. Do a lot in your business with your employees or employer. Do a lot in your marriage. It's close enough to perfect for me that we would speak compliments, not complaints. It's so easy, though, isn't it, to just pick at each other over and over. The third thing I want to give you is that we would learn to fight fair. I want you to look at verse 9, Ecclesiastes verse 9. Enjoy, remember that means to look at differently, to see in the Hebrew, to see clearly. Enjoy life with your wife. You love who you love. All the days of your fleeting life, don't get into the petty, which has been given to you under the sun. All your fleeting days, watch, for that is your portion in life and in your struggle under the sun. It means you're going to have some fights. You're going to disagree. There's no way a blue megaphone to a pink hearing aid is not going to end up in a fight at a time. No way a pink megaphone to a blue hearing aid isn't going to end up in a fight at a time. It's going to happen. It's okay. But we don't need to have World War III shooting at each other, you know, till we just knock it all down. Learn to fight fair. Now, here I'm going to give you three things on how to fight fair. Number one, three applications. Number one, timing and tone are crucial. Timing and tone are crucial. Is this the best time to bring this up? You're leaving for Christmas. You're leaving. You're heading over to your in-laws. Is this the best time to say, your mama's crazy? Is that the best moment to say that? Your daddy's aggravating. No, because, you know, nobody can talk about your mama but you, right? And particularly, my mama's in the service. Mama, I love you. That's awesome. But to be able to see that, that's not the right timing, is it? It's wrong timing. It probably shouldn't be said at all. But you talk about the issues after the issues have kind of settled down. I'll get a little bit more into that. The tone is critical. Just 2 weeks ago, I was leaving. I needed to go. We were running a little bit late. And Kelly wasn't going with me. I was on my own to go do something with somebody else. And Kelly put her arm around me and said, can I tell you something? And I said, not if it is something I can do better or something I can change. You're supposed to laugh at that point, okay? Wasn't it that heavy, all right? And what did she do? She said, okay. And disaster was averted, right? Because at that moment, I wasn't looking for any help. Unsolicited advice is usually the worst kind. And so in the moment when one spouse is a little bit hot about something and the other spouse says, let me just coach you a little bit and tell you a few things, that's not the moment. And Kelly was wise enough to say, no. And I was grumpy enough to say, no, okay? And because that's sometimes how it happens. Then later on, I said, what were you going to tell me? She said, I'm not going to tell you now. And now we were laughing about it. You know, and then she finally told me, and it was great advice. It was just the wrong timing for the advice, but she was wise enough to understand. I didn't want to hear it right then, right? I wanted to be grumpy. I didn't want anybody to change me being grumpy. The best way to help when somebody's grumpy, just get away from them. Let them be grumpy for a while and then come back in, okay? So timing and tone, you got to learn that in your marriage. Don't have a serious conversation after 9 p.m. You're tired. You're ready for bed. I mean, maybe it's 10 p.m. for you, whatever your time frame is. It's just not the right time to bring it all up. That's when you say, let's talk about that later. I'm not going to let the sun set on my anger. Let's kiss goodnight. We'll talk about it later. And you know what? You wake up in the morning, and it's usually it went from this to this. It's not even an issue anymore. Number two, timing and tone are crucial. Applications, fighting fair. Try to talk about the issue outside of the issue. That's what I kind of gave you a little bit before. We're digging a little bit deeper on this. Talk about the issue outside the issue. Why? Because it's not emotionally charged. Probably one of you in your marriage is on time. One of y'all struggles a little bit with on time. That's God's way of refining both of you, right? And so is it the moment that you've been sitting in the garage, honk, a honk, a honk, a honk, that then whoever, male or female, gets into the car at that point, you're always late. You da-da-da-da-da. And that's not the moment. Why? Because there's 9 excuses of why that's happening at that moment. What you do is you just bite your lip and back out, you know, is what you do. And you get over there and you get to the party and you fake it for about 30 minutes, okay, because you're mad at each other. And then finally you get through it and you make it through. And then sometime the next day you sit down and you say, what can we do that would help us to help one another to be on time so that we're able to enjoy whatever event we're at? And then you're able to talk things through. What can I do to help if you're the on-time person? If you're on time really means 20 minutes early, you're going to have to give a little bit. And to be able to have that, but have the issue addressed outside the issue. Because in the issue, it's usually emotionally charged, and there's 5 or 6 reasons why that issue at that moment happened. Not the principle that we're trying to handle. Number 3, and finally, try to solve the problem, not the person. Try to solve the problem, not the person. When you've been married, you end up trying to solve the person, not the problem. Here's what happens. The two become one, that's what the Bible says, and then we spend our time arguing over which one we became. I want her to be more like me. She wants me to be more like her. I want barbecue. She wants a salad. Well, let's find a place that serves barbecue and salads. Or let's go back and forth on it a little bit and meet in the middle. But let's not try to solve the person, but solve the problem. Now, let me tell you this. There's some things in your marriage you're just going to have to get over. You're just going to have to get over it. I talk a lot. 22 years into the marriage, my wife's got to know I talk a lot. I talk a lot as a profession. I talk a lot personally. I talk a lot. So I say things that she's like, why did you say that? I can't believe you said that. Well, you talk a lot. You say things you shouldn't say. That's how it goes, right? Thankfully, I earn a living talking a lot. You know, it's worked out to my advantage. But that means that I want to be at the party X amount of time longer than she wants to be at the party, right? We got the introvert-extrovert thing going on. So does it mean we need to stay 2 hours later at the party to talk to every single person that entered into the party? Or does it mean that we need to leave a little bit early? She's going to have to stay a little bit later. I'm going to have to leave a little bit earlier. We joke and we say this. I've said this to you before. She'll like to talk to one person at the party. I like to talk to everybody at the party. She's like, why? How can you talk to everybody at the party? I'm like, because I'm shallow. That's why. And the reason you like to talk to one person at the party is because you're deep. I don't want to get cornered talking to one person the whole time. There's so many people to talk with. They need my presence and my joy, and I must be around, right? So what's the deal with Kelly? Kelly's got to get over it in that way to a certain extent. What's the deal with me? I got to get over it to a certain extent and make sure those date nights and date days, I don't invite more people to come, right? So we could be there together, and there's just things you're just going to have to work through. But don't solve the person, solve the problem. And whenever you solve the problem, you're becoming more like Jesus, because Jesus said in the garden, not my will, but yours be done. And there's times in marriage you just got to say, not my will, but yours be done. I'm going to do something as we begin to wrap up. We're going to close in just a minute. But I just want to encourage us for a second. Did this at the earlier service, and it was just a great encouragement. You know, we always feel like marriages are all tanking and everybody's going, down and all these sort of things. So here's what I want you to do in just a second. I want to ask, if you've been married 20 years or more, and I want to put this in, if you were a widow or widower and you were married 20 years or more, I want you to do this as well. I want to ask all of those that were married that are married 20 years or more, or were married 20 years or more, I just want you to stand up right where you are, just so we can see a visual of 20-year-plus marriages. Isn't that great? Yeah. There's hope. There's hope. Yes. Now, can I get an amen on all I've been saying from the 20-year-plus people? All right, go ahead, take a seat now. Now, if you've been divorced, my intent was not to shame you in the least. That's not my heart in the least. But my heart is for us to be able to say, let's keep going and let's keep walking. And how about this? Let's enjoy marriage. Enjoy it. Does it mean it's always perfect? No, but have some fun. Have a blast. Prioritize prayer and encouragement in your life. Walk in the ways of God. Learn to fight fair. And when that happens, you're going to grow in that marriage, and you're going to grow in your relationship, and you're going to look a little bit more like Jesus. Because the ultimate marriage is not between you and your spouse. The ultimate marriage is between Christ and His church. Christ and His people. And so if you're single, if you're divorced, let me just tell you, there's a better groom than you could ever imagine. And His name's Jesus. And He gave His life for you so that you could live through Him. And for those that are married, Jesus gave His life for you so you don't have to get your way. You can surrender and be safe in that relationship. And then you know what will happen? When the pink megaphone speaks to the blue hearing aids and the blue megaphone speaks to the pink hearing aids, we'll understand each other. And when she says, I love you, she means I love you. And when she says, I respect you, she means she respects you. When she says, I honor you, she really means I honor you. And when he says, you're beautiful, he means it with all of his heart. And when he says, I care for you like no other woman on this earth, he really means it with all his heart. I'll protect you and provide for you. I'll be whatever you need me to be. I'll give my life for you. He really means he'd give his life for you. And then we start communicating on a soul level. And you know what happens? We see each other differently. And we begin to respond differently as we live these things out. Marriage, it's an awesome thing. Challenging, but an awesome thing and a blessing. We're going to pray together. Next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about parenting. I'm going to give you some very practical things on parenting. and to be able to go now from marriage to parenting in a couple and next week. But let's just sit here with this marriage part. So if you're here and you're a married couple, I want to ask that you just grab your spouse's hand right now. If you're not married, you got the hand of Jesus in your hand, and that's better than anybody else's hand. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We trust you. We ask, God, that you would do your work and you would move in a powerful way. Lord, this last couple minutes we have of our service, Father, we pray for our marriages. Thank you for our church, so many longevity marriages, Lord. We could have gone up to 40, 50 years and still had people standing. We thank you, God. We love you. What God speak to your heart today? Do you need to trust Christ as your Savior? Is this a church you need to join and be a part of? You need to get something right with the Lord. Those are very important things. Or is there something in your marriage you just need to be reminded of today? We love you. Jesus, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.